The Sharpshooters, episode 72, May 23rd, 2006. Hello, everybody out there in Sharpshooter World. I'm Eric.
It's podcasting world. We are not podcasting. We're not like the television. You're supposed to like TV world. We're
a Sharpshooter World, man.
When did you become this egotistical maniac?
I'm not egotistical, but Marcus, I said my name is Eric. What is your name?
You said it for me. Oh, I'm Marcus LeGrand!
But you're going to turn away from the microphone. No one heard the grand finale. It doesn't matter.
They heard it.
But anyway, when our powers combine, we are the Sharpshooters.
Yes.
We do a podcast about wrestling.
Yes, I provide the heart and the fire.
Episode 72, I'm the earth and the wind. Because I'm always full of hot air.
You know what? I want the earth.
Marcus, I'm sure you enjoyed the Captain Planet song at the end of the show.
Of course, I played it multiple times at the end. Didn't listen to the show because I like listening to the end.
Yeah, first of all, I would like to apologize for you like listening to the end.
I just don't know what I'm talking about.
Apparently, there were some troubles in iTunes, and the show wasn't updated in iTunes until yesterday. I had to send a report of concern in, but if that ever happens, we try to release a show on Saturday and Tuesday. Sometimes we release on Sunday. Just go to our website, check and see if there's a new show, and you can listen to the air.
And right, what is that website?
That website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail via Skype with the username thesharpshooters, spelled like the show. Or you can call the hotline, which is 310-928-6889. I encourage all listeners to please let us know what you think of our show, if there are any ideas or any improvements that we can make. We get a barrage of email, but we would take more email because, hell, I would even cut down some of the show in the review to get more email.
You would do something like that.
Because the show is better as a form. We report the news, go over a little bit of what happened in wrestling, and then get to what the people out there.
The report is necessary.
We have to
cover the little stuff. If we don't cover, say, for instance, a TNA segment in which Conan is on strike and the Mexicans aren't doing commentary no more, we got to cover that.
No, we got to
give our comments that.
All right, Marcus.
That's key. That's valuable information.
Are there any new members to the Frapper, Matt?
Oh, damn it. I left the paper.
There was some new members?
There was one new member, and it was...
We will have that... No, Marcus, we're not going to mess up. We will have that new member at the end of the show.
Baltimore Maryland.
Marcus,
let's
stop. We will have it either.
I think it was Wesley.
Wesley?
Yes,
he is Wesley. He is from.
Yes. What is wrong with me?
The one simple job that you have and you struggle with that, Marcus.
I've been busy with homework lately.
I've been busy with work, but you don't see me hold up the process of doing notes, do you?
Because I could do your job with notes. Well, I choose not to.
Yeah, I'd like to see you do it one day.
All right, where are we on the show? We're on the news. Let's get into the news.
All right, let's get right into the news. Oh, first of all, before we even get into it, the Frapper Map. People might not even know what the Frapper Map is because, you know, some people might be new. A Frapper Map is a thing that we have on our website where you put in where you live, and on the map of the world, it puts a pin in your name. It's really cool. So if you're new out there and want to add yourself to the Frapper Map, do that. Also, there's Podcast Alley.
Is there a poll up there?
No, there is no poll because we have not thought of a question. I had a question last night. I forgot it. Well, you didn't tell me.
Why should I be excited for ECW? Well, I don't know what the bullet points would be.
How's that a poll question? Why should you be excited?
Well,
Marcus,
should I be excited for ECW? Yes.
No. Should I?
Or should wrestling fans?
No. Wouldn't the question be better? Are you excited about ECW? It's
the same thing. Should, would, could, are. It's the same word.
Yeah, but I don't know that poll. That poll lacks the pizzazz. Let's just get into the news. The first news story that we have is Shawn Michaels, Heartbreak Kid, could possibly be injured. True, you guys watched Raw. You saw how the Spirit Squad attacked him in the knee. We'll get to that. We'll get to that later on when we do the Raw report. But he has been wearing a knee brace for some time and has been dealing with a lot of pain in that specific knee.
Now, where's the source of this?
This is from ProWrestling.com.
Not WWE.com.
I don't think so yet. But he is scheduled to have an MRI with the thinking that he will need some minor arthroscopic surgery on the knee. But he is not expected to be out for a while, just for a few weeks. And he will be able to appear at the Avengers pay-per-view, barring that the MRI doesn't show any bad
damage.
No, damage.
He isn't like Barbaro. Condolences.
Don't bring up. He's not dead. Is he dead?
No, he isn't dead, but
he's walking,
it's
right?
It's still a 50% chance.
Marcus, not bring this up. This whole horse thing troubles me about them dying after they...
They break the leg and then they get organ failure because they're not meant to sit upright.
I guess.
Anyway.
Do you have anything to add about the HBK injury?
Well, apparently this doesn't put a niche to really any of their vengeance plans about reforming DX, so. All
right. Well, moving on to the next one.
It's nothing serious.
May 23rd.
He's wrestling the Spirit Squad every week.
Okay. May 23rd. Not May 19th, but May 23rd is a fairly big day for WWE. Why? Because they have a couple of releases this week. Today, Tuesday, WWE released the WWE Reckless Intent CD. This is a standard CD that has renditions
of
WWE Superstars' interest themes.
Yes.
I do have a copy of it. Have not listened to it. Only song you guys know I listen to over and over is The King of Kings.
Because you're a maniac.
By Motorhead. I love that song. Also, they have Randy Orton's full-fledged song, which is very interesting.
Is it?
Yeah. And why? On that note, because it doesn't sound right without just going to the hook. There's nothing you can say, whatever. Also, 3-6 Mafia did do a song on there. Oscar award winning 3-6 Mafia does a song on there for Mark Henry, and they will be performing on this SmackDown this Friday night.
This Friday night SmackDown?
Yeah, they're performing tonight in Bakersfield, but they will be on SmackDown this Friday doing a performance of the song for Mark Henry. I guess... Well, Mark Henry could be. Anyway, we'll get to that when we get to Judgment Day.
Mark Henry is a member of 3-6 Mafia.
And the last release is WWE released their WrestleMania 22 DVD, which should have some backstage features.
Is it 20? Yeah, 22.
Also, it's going to have the entire King Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes, the King Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes, the King Hall of Fame ceremony.
Featuring Bret Hart, Greg Gagne, and Vern Gagne.
All right, is that enough on that story?
And William the Fred.
Should I move on to the next story?
Well, the news seems very light this week.
It's very light.
They're not going to like say, oh, church, that's serious.
But I'm going to give you some church right now, Marcus, because I have some more information on the Booker T. Batista fight.
All right, here we go.
This is always good.
This is always good. The drama to this story is better than any reality show.
Now, this is all courtesy of ProWrestling.com. I got the story, so I'm not credited for writing anything.
No.
So, how does it go? This is how it read. Booker T's victory in the fight with Batista has earned him extra locker room respect. One source stated that Booker T dominated Batista due to having more street fighting experience.
Shit.
Hold on, let me finish. Booker T did take a very personal verbal shot at Batista. However, one source said that it did not come until the situation became very heated. No one blames Booker T for what he did, as the general feeling backstage is that Batista has become very arrogant since winning the world title.
The
latest on Booker T. Batista fight at the commercial shoot for SummerSlam 2006 is that it was real. Batista's face was apparently cut up after the incident with Booker T having a black eye that was visible on SmackDown last week.
I seen it. I know it's that one.
A close friend of Batista informed everyone it was a work, but many speculate it's just so Batista can save face since Booker T was a clear winner of the fight.
Uh-oh.
Batista was supposedly rubbing people the wrong way while talking about how SmackDown's ratings have dropped since he's been gone and basically making it like he was the only attraction on SmackDown. The SmackDown locker room has always had heat on Batista since Batista did interviews where he would be praising the Raw show and putting down SmackDown to great lengths. Many have gone so far as to say that JBL sandbagged his three matches with Batista as a way of paying him back for the insults. Batista did hang out with Eddie Guerrero backstage shortly before his death, and that won him over some friends. But the fact that Batista thinks he's a star as big as The Rock or Steve Austin doesn't help matters. Batista does not carry himself backstage like Triple H or The Undertaker,
Triple H, huh?
But he does act superior to mid-card veterans who have yet to receive a main event opportunity as he did. WWE.com reported that the fight lasted 5 minutes, though the brawl itself only lasted 30 seconds.
From the time
the argument started till they were broken up, though, 5 minutes has passed. Booker T got into an argument with Batista over his comments, and Booker T apparently gave him many opportunities to back off. As he's a laid back person by everyone's standard. But Batista kept going with the argument. Rey Mysterio was there doing the argument, trying to act as peacemaker, as he most often does backstage. Yeah,
he seems like the peacemaker.
After the fight, the roster shot Batista many dirty looks, which left Batista visibly upset since no one stuck up for him. So far, neither wrestler has been punished or reprimanded. Now, this story brings out so much that...
This is a great fight.
Batista has this much heat backstage? It's crazy because when you see Batista on camera or even talking, he seems like a really nice guy. And
I guess he's in character in front of the camera. Batista seems like, well, first of all, Batista seems like he knocked him the F out.
Booger T got the best of him.
That's shocking because Batista is, you know, a big guy. And I'm like,
but Booker T had that street fighting ability.
He didn't break out his kicks, though.
Man. Probably Booker T looked ass. Okay, go ahead.
Second, it seems like a trend with the people who don't like each other and the people who do. Say, for instance, Melina has tons of...
Say that for the next story because that's after that. Say Melina.
Oh.
So we still have to go through that story.
Hold on. Let me go back into this then. All right. I changed my whole statement up. So, apparently, Rey Mysterio is true. He does seem like the peacemaker.
He's a peacemaker.
He seems like that. And I just can't see Booker T actually just dominating on Batista. I mean, Batista, man, you got a lot of fight.
Well, I have two interesting sides to this that I find fairly interesting. First thing I'm going to hit, JBL sandbagging matches with Batista, Marcus. You said those matches with Batista was pretty bad. Now, the thing is, I have seen JBL work, and he's a good worker, especially when he's in shape. At those points when he fought Batista, he was in better shape than he was now.
Yeah.
So, to say that he took a dive.
He tanked the whole show.
That's
serious.
Batista's an asshole. And then,
Do you think he's a bigger asshole than the other member of Evolution, Randy Orton?
This is the point that I was about to make. It's kind of ironic that the two people that spent a lot of time around Triple H have ego problems, according to Randy Orton and Batista. And it's like, did they try to get the swagger that Triple H had, but they haven't earned anything yet?
And I just, honestly, this comes out of left field, Batista being that, I treat mid-cards like jerks, because about a year ago now, he was carrying Devon's luggage as Deacon Batista.
Don't bring that up.
I mean, until he got to Evolution, and Batista isn't like the greatest wrestler in the world.
No, he's not.
He has a nice power move.
He has the look.
A lot of power moves. And he has the look, and he isn't trying to be something he a la Cena.
Yeah, okay, now moving on to the next story to add more fuel to the fire. Melina and Nitro have been suspended by the WWE because Melina has been going around with the cocky attitude, and she was once dating Batista at one point.
Now she dates Nitro.
And Nitro, because of dating Melina, has become distant from the other wrestlers and reported, I think, in an earlier show, the wrestlers took them to SmackDown Court where The Undertaker was the judge, right?
Yes.
And
he's always the judge.
They go over some things, and I just think that this is... I like Eminem. I like Nitro. I think as a team, it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
To see all this happening when they're shining is baffling to me.
Baffling indeed. Well, we'll get on to the Nitro and them, I guess, when we go over the Judgment Day a little bit. And it's like I was going to say earlier, it's ironic that Melina and Batista, good friends, yet both hate it back in the locker room. That's too much connecting. So I'm saying it's probably true that they may do have ego problems.
They could
and
have
aren't
ego.
Just reports.
I mean, I couldn't. It's hard for me to say because even though, let's just say, This is not a competitor to WWE, but let's just say I leave the show for a while and Mark is doing it on his own. No, better yet, because Marcus has a bigger ego than me. I leave the show for a while and Marcus does the show by himself and the ratings increase. Marcus is going to think that he's superior and he doesn't need me anymore.
We get ratings now?
No, but I'm just saying we got ratings. You know what I mean?
Downloads?
So I can understand how Batista could get an ego because I guess SmackDown ratings has dropped, but I don't think it's because of Batista. I think because they have been preempted so much.
No, I think it's Friday.
Then it's all, no, I think it's preempted.
Friday, when it was on Thursday, they pulled at least a 3-point whatever. I don't understand ratings, but I believe they pulled better ratings on Thursday than Friday because Friday is the night you go out.
No, Thursday was harder because of the OC and other shows that came on Thursday. A lot of people watch
that
show.
Not that demographic,
Friday,
I don't think.
No, Friday has been a better night, but the time since they have switched, they have to deal with playoffs, baseball games. They're preempted in almost every market on each Friday.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things that they have to
Friday's
battle.
Friday's a terrible
so
night.
So I don't think that it's just because of the product they're putting out there. I think it's just because of things that are happening
it's
on Friday.
It's Friday, I think.
And then also, people go out on Friday.
Yeah, and it's just it's a bad day, in my opinion, because, like, for us, we have to record the show sometimes on Sunday because the Angels are playing now. And before then, you know, the previous year was the Dodgers. And then, like, other markets, if you go, like, San Francisco or whatever, either Oakland or the Giants are playing, preempted there.
Or Minneapolis or New York, so
yeah,
on
and
so
you got New York in like that. And then you got playoff basketball, which could have preempted. Who knows? I don't know UPN if it has any basketball teams in other places. You know, it's just a bad night scene.
Now, I wonder, is it a way that in the rating system, they can calculate how many people DVR or TiVo, the service? Cause
they can calculate TiVo because the Jed Jackson thing was one of the highest rated TiVos of all time, apparently.
I feel that a lot of people TiVo wrestling, actually, because I think nobody really wants to sit through the commercials. And then
and see no evil.
You can fast forward through things that you don't like, matches you don't want to see. Like if Simon Dean comes out and fight a midget, nobody wants to see that.
Or if Kane's talking about May 19th all night.
Well, okay.
Anyway,
all right. I think that pretty. Oh, what?
Batista. He's not the reason the ratings are up for SmackDown. Because when he left, actually SmackDown became more entertaining and actually more unique. They let a lot of other people come up. For instance, Matt Hardy, Finley, Benoit's been getting bigger push and stuff. And Booker T has really shined since Batista left.
Now, Marcus, I have some groundbreaking news that I didn't really want to report news because I don't consider it really news. These are rumors rumbling around on the net. First rumor is RO might return June 13th.
Yeah, I heard that.
Second rumor, they're considering giving Mark Henry gold, the World Heavyweight title.
The World Heavyweight title?
Yes.
For what?
Because JBL was thought to get the title, but apparently he's on the verge of retiring soon. But he wants to move toward Raw because he wants to face some of the people he has never faced before, such as HBK and stuff like that. So it's a possibility that Mark Henry could have gold. And also, Rey Mysterio might be taking some time off because he has a bad knee.
I don't see why he just don't give it to Randy Orton, who's coming off
Marcus,
suspension.
Marcus, how does that reward somebody from being an asshole, calling people cunts, and being an ego, then you say, here's your belt?
He's just still a good wrestler. There were assholes back in the day that gave him the belt. Yeah. Ultimate Warrior Marcus, had the belt, for Christ's sake.
Marcus, Great Khali, Mark Henry.
Uh-oh, I'm taking Mark Henry.
Exactly.
Here's a little side news story to all this going on with Eminem. One is I heard that they wasn't really suspended, Eminem, Mercury, and Nitro. That's just a rumor.
No, Nitro and Melina were
suspended. That's what I mean. Nitro and Melina wasn't suspended.
That Mercury had personal issues?
Mercury has personal issues, and that's why he's not going to be on TV for a while.
Well, firstly, Mercury can't be on TV without Eminem.
Why not?
What is he going to do, Marcus?
He was a tactician. I don't know.
Exactly. All right, so we spent enough on news.
We're
going to be right back, and we'll be back with the WWE report. All right, it's now time for the WWE report.
Woo!
Mark just had a great discussion about 24. I've never really watched the show, but it was a nice season finale. Mm-hmm. All right, now back to the thing. WWE Vengeance happened this Sunday. It was a decent enough card that I forked out the cash.
He shelled it out.
And I ordered Vengeance. And to be totally honest, I wasn't disappointed. It was a decent pay-per-view.
It seemed. It started off fine.
It seemed like a, to me, it was a SmackDown with, like a SmackDown Plus. It was good.
It seemed like if they had some Raw matches on there, it'd be a solid pay-per-view.
Yeah, if they had some Raw matches. But I think pay-per-views have to be interpromotional. Actually, I don't think it was weak. I think it carried a lot of stories that should have been carried.
I just think it had some weak stuff in there.
True, the most memorable thing about the whole night is the Eminem falling
out.
They
were the show.
All right. It's actually some other interesting things that I have no idea what the WWE is doing. It's like really interesting.
What with King Booker? We'll go over the results.
All right, so the first match of the night, Judgment Day, opened up with Paul London and Brian Kendrick versus Eminem. Nitro held London in place on the apron and Mercury charged at him, but London moved and Mercury hit Nitro Molina and London scored the pin, crowning London and Kendrick the new tag team champions. How does this impact the tag team division on SmackDown?
Well, it seems like either the Gemini or Cash and Noble will be probably the next contenders for this title. They're the top heel tag teams right now.
You're forgetting somebody too, Marcus. I kind of feel in a way that the Cruiserweight title could be dead for the simple fact that a lot of the Cruiserweights are tag teams.
Except for Greg.
You have the Mexicos. They can challenge Kendrick and...
But I don't think they want to go with the face heel thing. They don't want to go face versus face.
I think right now wrestling is moving to that point where it doesn't matter if you're face or heel because no one knows no more. And Raw explained that to me this Monday night because it was the fans in Vegas. First of all, Las Vegas fans, you guys are freaking awesome. You freaking rock. You was into every freaking moment in a whole Raw.
I don't like those in that Anaheim place.
All right, so
wherever that is.
We're moving on to the next match. That was Chris Benoit versus Finlay. Finlay eventually tapped out to the crossface. What I saw at this match
was... the first match?
This is the second match.
Oh, yes.
What I saw in this match, this was the match that filled time because a lot of the other matches were not going to go that long because everybody is so green in the ring. And I guess Benoit and Finlay did it, but the problem with this, they had already did this match on SmackDown.
Nah, it was a little different. It was still fun. I enjoyed this match.
It was fun, but it was just like, hey... Benoit, give me the headbutt.
I think, honestly, the one Benoit had with Regal on Velocity was better than this.
It would have been nice if they would have thrown somebody else in the mix, like made it a triple threat.
But so far, we just went over the whole Eminem situation. We just skipped over breaking up.
They kind of fought and broke up after the match, but we mentioned it so much, people know.
But Nitro knows the rules.
He
knows the rules. And screw you, Mercury. He sounded like a 5-year-old kid when he said it.
It was just so funny to break up. Then, we'll go into detail after this next match.
Okay.
Jillian defeats Melina. Jillian got her knees up when Melina went for a splash. She rolled her up for the pin. Melina had her head on the ropes, but no one saw this. But the most interesting fact about this whole match, Marcus, and you're going to remember this because I don't think you remember.
I remember.
It's after the match, Crystal, drunk ass, walked out and asked Melina. I don't know what she asked her.
I honestly do not know what this day, but Melina was ready to call her you bitch.
She asked her a question. It was like, what do you think about just losing? How do you feel about Eminem or something like that? And then she paused. She was like, I have a question. Pause. Silence.
It's like she was hanging out with Mark Henry for the weekend. So, and he was like, I gotta tell you something, baby. This is some good shit.
Well, anyway, so Melina called her a bitch and they beat her down. Eventually, this
It led to Tay Long getting pushed down by Melina.
I was getting there. This led to a fight where security had to break him up. For some reason, Teddy Long came down to break him up, but he ended up getting knocked on his wallet.
And he looked offended to the point that he was frustrated.
And this eventually led it on to a confrontation inside his office. Melina slapped Teddy Long, which Tay Long fired her. Then Nacho was like, how can you fire her? I know the rules. He didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that. He said that in the match.
And then he eventually fired him.
Yes.
Pretty much Eminem was broken up. But as you know, because of the suspensions and stuff, this somewhat makes sense.
Well, what are they really going to do with Nitro and Melina now? They're probably going to Raw now.
Marcus, Eminem will reunite. I will see them reunite, working out the differences. because they are just, they were a good tag team. They worked well together. They did tag teams. It just worked. Everything clicked.
I can see them actually becoming a Raw tag team per se.
Why not?
Exclusively. And, you know, they have no tag teams. So, why not? Just give them the belt there and nobody know they have
the belt. The next match was Gregory Helms versus Super Crazy. Helms powerbomb Crazy and put his feet on the rope for the win. The only thing about this match that was interesting was probably our grandfather who kept saying that Super Crazy was crazy for just kicking and punching. This match really didn't live up to
when he was in the chin lock, he was like, oh, he is crazy. Look at how he's crazy. Anyway, that's grandfather issues right there, but let's get back into this.
This match really was nothing special. It was not cruiserweight style. It was kind of slow paced.
Gregory Helms' face.
He was, and this is where I go with this, that Gregory Helms probably belongs more in the U.S. title hunt than the cruiserweight hunt.
I would say the Intercontinental title hunt on Raw. They should have left him on Raw, go for the Intercontinental title, and that would be that, because he's not like the other cruiserweights. They're fast. They can do flips and whatever, and like you go, ooh, wow. And Gregory Helms is a mad wrestler.
A mad wrestler.
With the shining wizard and the eye of the hurricane.
Charlie Haas versus Gregory Helms might have been a good match. Moving on to the next match, Mark Henry defeated Kurt Angle. Henry splashed Angle's against the ring post, winning the match via a countout. But after the match, Angle went to school on Mark Henry, beat his ass with a chair. Angle slammed him on the table, then knocked his ass on top of the table, and that was it.
And the table stayed up. I mean, Angle slammed him, Mark Henry rolled off, and he hit him with the chair, Mark Henry falls on the table, the damn thing smashed. So, reinforced tables.
But once again, I have no issue with Mark Henry. It's hard for me to see him with gold, but the thing is, what would give him credit, he already beat Ray once.
What would give him credit if he was with Daivari? He just seems so alone out there.
He does need a manager. I would prefer if he would have stayed with Daivari.
I don't see why Daivari can't have both of these guys.
Because the Great Khali is too much to manage for one man.
And by the way, I wonder how long Kurt Angle's going to keep his revenge mouthpiece. Oh, I was wondering what it said after the match, and I finally got revenge.
I told you before it got that close-up. But right after I told you, that's what the damn close-up came. I was like, ain't that a B?
Yeah.
All right, so we're moving on to the next match. It's the King of the Ring final. Booker T defeats Bobby Lashley with the help from Finley, who hopped in the ring and clocked Lashley with the shillelagh. Now, my question is, does this lead to another feud with Lashley and Finley?
Why not? They never really reached the full potential of their feud, if you think about it. They never took it to the level that they should have always taken.
As Philly, how do you miss his head? That's a big head. You can't miss
the
head.
I don't know how he missed the head, but he knocked him out on the shoulder.
He did. Oh, he missed the head, really? I didn't know he did.
Yeah, he hit the shoulder.
But I think,
he always hit the shoulder.
But I think it was a great moment, though, was when Booker T was celebrating up there. Lashley, being an immature punk that he is because he lost, he speared Booker T through
King Booker,
okay.
But you can't call him Booker T.
But it was great when he was on the mat lying down. He said, just put the rub on me. I'll be okay.
Yeah, and he went all James Brown with it. Just put the rub and walked away. But anyway, his celebration is great. I can't wait to SmackDown to see the full celebration of him being, what's the word? What is that called?
The king.
He inaugurated or something?
I don't know what it is.
The whole ceremonial thing.
All right, moving to the next match. In a shocking fashion, the Great Khali defeated The Undertaker cleanly.
He chopped
the Taker down and then kicked him in the head and scored the victory. Only thing I can see in this match is going to lead to a Buried Alive match or a casket match.
I see Buried Alive because there he had the casket match.
Oh, because Survivor Series is coming up.
That's kind of wild. SummerSlam hadn't even have yet.
My bad. I made a mistake. SummerSlam.
I can see a Buried Alive because they've done the casket at WrestleMania. And I really don't care to see another one.
No. Undertaker did his best.
He played the role of Shawn Michaels in the Hulk Hogan vs. Shawn Michaels match.
He did his best to try to put some high spots in his match, but Khali's offense is abysmal. It does not exist.
What?
If you want to talk about Cena not having no moves, this man prepared the chop. He massaged his hand for the chop, Marcus.
And the first time the chop didn't get it done. It took two.
It took two chops and a kick to the head.
Yes. And the kick to the head. I got that end of the bed. He just kicked it. I was like, what? Anyway, I felt I wasn't surprised by the Kali victory here. I was shocked how it just ended after a boot to a face.
I wasn't surprised about the victory. I was surprised by the cleanness of the victory.
Man, what? Because he's supposed to be the great Kali. I know how you can take him out. May 19th, man.
You know what? Also, only one way to take out the great Kali. Since Kali likes to go to the jungle, you need to sign Monty Brown for one night because he's been living in the Serengeti his entire life. 1 pounce would take down the great Kali.
Monty Brown's the littlest man in the world. He's at Kali's knee.
He's been in the Super Bowl, Marcus.
Yeah.
All right. So the last match of the night is Rey Mysterio defeated JBL. JBL brought a chair into the mix, but Rey kicked it, allowed him to hit the 619. He fought out with the Frog Splash and scored a victory. Only thing about this match, the Frog Splash should not have ended the match because Ray is too small, and it's just like a piece of paper falling on you. Simple as that.
And Chavo was there.
Yes, Chavo was there. There are things that are in the mix with Chavo and Ray. Stay tuned. I will not spoil anything.
That would be nice. Give Chavo his career lifelong appearance of a push, but he ain't going to get one like justified.
So, are you ready to move on to the Raw report?
Hold on. Let me think. Yeah, overall, I say it was just a passable pay-per-view.
It's not a pay-per-view that I regret ordering. It's not one that I say, damn, I should never order. Because
Raw pay-per-view?
It was a pay-per-view I ordered. I was like, this is some bullshit.
I think that was probably a Raw pay-per-view.
Now, Marsh, you might want to save up some money to get me to order ECW One Night Stand. I don't know if I can order that one.
Are you crazy? Don't you know Dean Malenko is covered? Super crazy. Don't you know Dean Malenko is coming out of retirement for one more match?
Anyway, Mark.
The highlight of the night for me, the man of 1,000 holes, Eric!
I only saw 3.
That's a lot.
Alright. Moving on to the Raw report.
Over here.
Vince opened the show and said that last week, Triple H hit Shane by mistake, and Shane was only saved by his superb conditioning and prowess.
Yes.
Vince said because of Triple H actions, he would demand an apology from Triple H tonight. Oh, Vince, once again, I am the focal point of the show overall.
I have to be the focal point because I own the company. And yet, I will probably criticize Jeff Jarrett behind the scenes about not being the focal point.
But Vince was easily forgot once the show actually started, and Mick Foley...
Well, no, in the first half of the show, he was forgotten.
No, yeah, in the first, he was, I'm saying, from that point when we saw him, he was easily forgotten once Foley came out.
With the whole award ceremony.
Hold on, Mark. Let me go over this.
I'm not going to go. I'm saying when you know that red piece of carpet's on there in the ring, you know something serious about to go down.
So Foley came down to the ringside, and he said he's not a bad guy because people were kind of booing him. He said he's the same cuddly, gap-toothed, smiling, nice guy he's always been. He gave his cheap Las Vegas pop, but then he added, it was not that nice to be in Vegas.
Yes.
He said he doesn't believe in a town where people go to try to get lucky and get a fortune without earning it.
With a roll of the dice.
He said he earned his fortune with hard work and sacrifice. He said that Edge has the same similarities. At this point, he's praising Edge, and then who else comes out but Edge?
Did you mention that he was wearing a suit?
I don't want to. That disturbed me, seeing Mick Foley in a suit.
This is like, what?
Yeah, the suit.
And yeah, he still looked like he was...
He needed a haircut.
He needs a shave, haircut. Mick looks like he's
all having right, a tough let's get run. Back to the show. Edge walked out to the ring, and Foley called Lita hot. And then he gave Edge something that was near and dear to his heart.
It was near and dear to me.
The Hardcore Championship belt. Edge said he could not accept the belt, and Foley said that Foley is the Hardcore legend because he toiled in the ECW bingo hall for years, and he had to bite his tongue as a so-called legend like Ric Flair characterized him as a glorified stuntman. Mm-hmm. Foley then took a shot at Flair about how he jobbed at a ladder match at WrestleMania.
And I'm just happy that he survived.
Yes. And then both men decided that they both deserved the title, and Foley said there is only one way to settle this. Foley then asked the crowd if they wanted to see him and Edge go at it for the title, but Edge stopped him and said that he had a better idea.
Now, this is a much better idea. Instead of trying to kill each other, this is brilliant.
He went to Lillian Garcia, who was outside that ring, who will be focused later on this show, whispered something into her ear, Then she announced the new co-holders of the WWE Hardcore Championship, Edge and Foley. Then they celebrate. My question is, Marcus, first of all, that hardcore belt has been through shit. Second, that's not a question.
It is.
My question, is this a real belt?
Will this become a legitimate belt? I hope so, but is it later on? Don't they, no, I don't know. No. This should be a legitimate belt, 24/7. You can give it to any loser in the locker room, and I'll be entertained. You can give this belt to Eugene, and then have him get destroyed in the parking lot of Denny's.
And become right in the head again.
I don't know.
Now, you know what was crazy? This was actually a decent enough segment that it could have ended right here.
But it was a great segment. And let me say this. I love this whole faction of Foley, Edge, and Lita.
But hold up. It got better. Because ECW music started to play, and no other than the ECW founder, Paul Heyman, walked out.
Paul E. Dangerously.
Whatever. Heyman said he found it ironic that he sees live prostitution on Monday Night Raw. Right there, the crowd start chanting, lead as a hoe or slut, whatever.
And he starts saying, ho, ho. And
yeah. Heyman said he wasn't talking about Lita, but about Foley.
Oh!
He said that Foley gave his blood, sweat, and tears to entertain the fans. He took time away from his family to entertain these people, and now he is prostituted away for Edge and Lita? Heyman said that he would not let him prostitute the name of Hardcore away. He wondered, what did Mick see when he looked in the mirror? Now, before we get into what Mick saw when he looked into the mirror,
I saw he needed a shave.
The word prostituting away the glory of his name, I've never heard it used in that way before.
But it was used correctly.
It made me feel right. I was like, damn it. He gave this all up for Edge and Lita. Did Edge let Mick hit that?
I'm not going to speculate anything because Mick is a married man.
But I'm just saying, Edge has been known to offer Lita services up to whoever was interested in buying.
Well, what buying? I don't know if anybody ever paid. I just know he's offered and she agreed to let him offer and she did the job.
All right, so we get back to it. Heyman then challenged Edge and Foley to a match. Oh, wait! Let me scratch. I jumped ahead. We got to tell you what Foley said when he looked in the mirror. He said when he looks in the mirror, he sees the co-holder of the WWE Hardcore Championship, a WWE superstar, a real-life action figure, and an author of best-selling books, One Due Next Spring.
Don't
he said it was ironic that Heyman would point out that Mick is not the same because Heyman is not the same because he is no longer the SmackDown general manager.
Oh, yeah, that's a big loss.
He doesn't own a company.
Oh, no.
And then he said that Heyman should go back to the hole that he came from.
After this,
Heyman admitted that everything that Foley said was true. Then he challenged Edge and Foley to a match at One Night Stand because that is one thing that he has control over on June 11th, right? June 11th is DS.
June 8th.
June 3rd.
It's sometime in June.
June 17th, maybe.
I think it is June 11th.
Oh, it is? Yeah, that's a good day. To face scumbags that he could drag out of a bingo hole. Foley told Heyman to get out of their WWE building, and he said no. Heyman said the only person in the ring with balls is Lita.
Oh.
And that pushed Edge past the limit, and he accepted the challenge. Foley and Edge decided that they were going to beat Heyman up, but Heyman was prepared, and Dreamer and Funk came out, and they beat down Edge and Foley.
And Funk looked old again.
Now, Marcus, I ask you a question. Do you think that if Edge would have still said no, that Heyman would have pulled out that trump card that we all know is dear to Mick Foley's heart?
WWE sucks?
Yes.
If he would have pulled that out, Foley would have not only charged at Paul Heyman, he would have made him killed Paul Heyman, because not only does he need that for 1 week, he can't get that 1 week, he can't get that two straight weeks from the same person, motor person.
This was an excellent segment. It established the first
match. Did
you
establish that Mick Foley and Edge ran away?
Yeah, I said they got their ass beat. I think that's all it needed to be said.
Yes, and they ran into the stands.
I just think that this established the first match for ECW that they're promoting. I don't know if I'm really big on seeing Terry Funk because he is kind of old, but he is a hardcore legend.
He's crazy!
And he knows why he did it to Dreamer, and
yes,
he just wanted to know.
He hit John Wayne somebody ass.
But overall, I think they can have a good match. And then, couldn't it be a swerve if Foley's acting like he's pro WWE?
Why destroy Edge?
I don't know.
What would he gain by destroying?
But no one was great about this whole point was the crowd. The crowd was so freaking confused. They had no idea who to cheer for. They was like, okay, wait. Foley's WWE, it's like WWE versus ECW.
I heard the majority of ECW.
And King was biased, of course, saying, what are these guys doing on this
ECW
show?
ECW trailer trash bums and rats and rodents doing it in our arena. This is our arena tonight, not tonight, you know, whatever. Off to the night. Just hating all on right. ECW.
Now we're getting to the first match of the night. I'm trying a new format with the matches, trying to, you know, save a little time. So what I'm going to try to do is go over the high spots, then the finish. It's kind of similar, but just a lot of bit... Some stuff come out. So this match was Shelton Benjamin versus RVD. During the commercial break, Shelton escaped a powerbomb and gave RVD snake eyes. Then Shelton landed a neckbreaker. RVD avoided a splash from Benjamin, and RVD landed a springboard reverse sidekick and some clotheslines. RVD also landed the Rolling Thunder, but only could get a two count. Marcus, as we was watching,
I told you, this is high spots.
I'm not going in order. Marcus at this point said, why the hell is RVD pinning this guy? He ain't never pinned nobody with the Rolling Thunder.
Of course. Well, he pins him after the Rolling Thunder. He just ain't never won with the Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, that's true. So this match finished by Shelton landing a Samoan drop on RVD, but somehow the ref got hit and he was hurt. He wasn't knocked out.
No. When he did the Samoan drop, Shelton landed on the referee's leg.
It clipped his leg.
And he was holding his leg.
But he wasn't knocked out. But Shelton felt, as you can tell, Shelton is not the most intelligent bad guy because the ref wasn't completely knocked out. He went out, got the belt.
But this is his solution to everything.
And he was going to clock RVD with the belt, but RVD did his spin kick, or the Van Damme, or whatever you want to call it, to the belt, to Shelton's face. The ref saw this, DQ'd RVD, and Shelton was declared the winner. RVD was pissed, of course, and he still landed his five-star splash on Shelton after the match. This was a stupid ending with the DQ because a couple of weeks ago, the same thing happened with the ref without even being knocked out, and
want to hear the ironic thing?
What?
Wasn't Shelton Benjamin not a while back that suffered from the same thing, but he, like, hit a move, and yet he didn't bring the weapon in, so...
And they justified it by, because someone else brought the rep weapon in, that it was able to be used?
Yeah.
Or did we justify that? I think we justified that.
No, they did it. Joey Styles did it later on the show.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it just seemed the whole rules of Raw just gets convoluted every week.
But I think what they're trying to set it up, and it explains, it makes more sense later on when you go into the Cena and Masters match, and when we get there, I'll touch on that. But it was a decent match.
Now let's just jump into something. This is a side part of this. Now that RVD is no longer in the Intercontinental picture currently, who is Shelton's next opponent?
Charlie Haas.
Charlie Haas ain't been on Heat on Raw yet.
But he's been on Heat.
He on Heat back to back.
And he's supposedly had a barn burner on Heat.
Yeah, he had a hell of a match on Heat. Not the tag match this week, but against the Japanese guy, Aoki.
No, I think on this week it's a new match he had.
Oh.
That they take for Heat when I was preparing for the show. It sounds like Heat is a pretty good show.
No.
You watched it recently?
I watched Heat. Have you seen the new matches? Wait, what? The current week don't come out to Friday.
Yeah, well, this current week, supposed the car looks pretty good.
Oh.
All right, so we're going backstage to, I would call, the most senseless point of the night on Raw. Vince is backstage.
No, this is the point in which Raw kind of goes in that downside.
Vince is backstage chatting with ZZ Top about a party and how he defeated Triple H for the title in Vegas 7 years ago with the help of Steve Austin. Then all of a sudden, Candace walked in and Vince left and they were staring at her pearls. Why was ZZ Top backstage?
I didn't understand a single moment of this segment. Why isn't this on Lemonade? Why couldn't Shelton and RVD have more time and then come up with a smarter finish then? Shelton walks in with the title and DQ RVD.
But guess what? We're not finished with Vince McMahon. He walked into the ring, repeated that Triple H must apologize for hitting Shane. Triple H walked out to the ring. Vince told Triple H.
After a delay.
Well,
it took him forever.
It took him forever, but we don't have to take it forever.
Yes, we did.
Triple H walked out to the ring very hesitant, and Vince told Triple H that he wanted to remind Triple H of what happened to Shawn Michaels for the last few months after he defied his wishes. Vince then turned to Triple H and said he is waiting for those words. Mm-hmm. After delaying his response, he finally said, "I'm sorry." Vince accepted the apology, then informed Triple H of his new assignment. The new assignment was to bust Shawn's head with the sledgehammer.
Wasn't that the assignment last week?
Yeah, but this one is after he went out 5-on-1 against the Spirit Squad.
Didn't he do that last week?
Yes, Marcus, it did. So, it's no more because we commented on that last week. Let's move on to the next
one. I mean, it's the same damn thing every week. Shawn Michaels versus the Spirit Squad. Can he overcome the odds? Next.
Marcus, I want to go to the next story because I finally got some clarification. Kane was interviewed by Ty Grisham. Kane said that on May 19th was the date that his mother and adoptive family were killed in the fire. He said he has tried to suppress those feelings and demons, but since it has passed and his movie has came out, he will now inflict insufferable pain and punishment upon his opponent.
In other words, that's the day the Undertaker burned down the funeral home.
What I thought was very interesting about this was they plugged the movie some more.
Of course, they will not stop plugging the movie. I thought the May 19th, I wouldn't have to hear the date no more.
And Kane was happy, which is nice.
He was finally happy, and the whole May 19th is over. It's the he had a movie coming out. He gets to hurt people for a living.
And somebody was,
couldn't be better.
And somebody was going to have to pay. And remember, I predicted who was going to have to pay. I said Trevor Murdoch is paying tonight.
No, you didn't. You said Conway.
I said Murdoch. Conway. I didn't bring up Conway. Yeah. I didn't bring up Conway. That's what Charlie Haas had a match against. That was supposed to be good.
Conway?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Still six.
All right. Now we get to the a match that's more stranger than the RVD Shelton Benjamin match.
Did we just miss the Kane match?
No, because the Kane match happened later on in the night.
Oh, I thought it happened right after
No, because this is towards the end of the first hour.
Oh, okay.
It's John Cena versus Chris Masters. I don't think this was a title match, but...
No, it wasn't!
Okay, I'm glad it wasn't, because you see, if it would have been, Mars, you would have blew a gasket.
No, I would have blew a gasket if it was for the title.
Alright, so unfortunately, my new format for the rest of Raw really doesn't work well, because there wasn't many high spots in this match.
Let me tell you what happened to this match.
No, hold on, Marcus.
No,
I have a clever line real quick.
Okay, oh, actually, your clever line.
Actually, the intros took longer than the entire match. Go ahead.
This is how the match went. They got in the ring. They locked up. They threw each other out the ring. They come back. Cena we're going to commercial break. Cena has them in the FTF. Chris Masters tap. End the match.
Well, you left out some details.
What are any details? First, the match ended so abruptly.
No, first, Chris Masters tried to apply the master lock, but Cena has found another way to block the master lock by holding your hands together. And showing that you have more power than Chris Masters.
Yes, he did nothing with that. And also, they reached their move limit after a suplex. Chris Masters started the match with a suplex.
It's like something hit off in their head. Move limit has been reached.
Time for me to signal for the master lock.
No, it was crazy, though, because, like Marcus said, it did end with the STFU. But before he did that, of course, the shoulder block and clothesline had to fall at. What I thought was very interesting, which is how... They toss Masters out the ring. We come back for commercial. Cena is flurry. STFU, he tapped out. Masters is supposed to be powerful. He tapped out like a bitch.
Was John Cena in action? Was that a glorified squash match?
Yes. But you know what? I think they made it up because when I saw RVD, I was like, you know what? RVD has to make that challenge fairly soon so they can build up some heat between these two. Yeah. And just on cue, as Cena was celebrating, RVD walked out to the ring.
The whole effing show.
He informed Cena to enjoy his moments as the champion because he will be cashing in his money in the bank at ECW One Night Stand. The reason behind him selecting this date is because he figured he would get screwed out of what he earned in a regular WWE match, so he wanted to have it somewhere where he was more comfortable. They went nose to nose, and RVD slapped Cena.
Well deserved!
And Cena threw a punch. Cena power slammed RVD. Masters hopped in the ring with the briefcase, but Cena made short work of him. RVD then tossed the briefcase at Cena, did his spinning kick, but he missed, but Cena still sold the move.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting, I think it made more sense of why they had the screw over ending with Shelton Benjamin, because now you can see, I can see from the Knights coming up, RVD getting screwed over.
Couldn't have held the tights.
No.
All the RVD doesn't no, have because really much tights to hold
have,
on.
You have to have a obvious disc. Like, you know, like how we pointed out the floor like a couple of weeks show did yeah. that. And why not have next week RVD get some mic time, point that out how he was screwed again. Yeah, and I bet
RVD
like that.
Did that during that handicap title match thing or something. It doesn't matter. But anyway.
Overall, I think that you really didn't need the match to set this up, but it was there.
You could have Cena in the back and RVD just back there pissed.
And after seeing this, I think Cena probably was the perfect fit because right now in the WWE arena, it was mixed reactions. Some cheered Cena.
Well, it was more of a cheer Cena in Las Vegas.
And some cheered RVD.
I heard boos for RVD after he slapped Cena.
Exactly, that happened.
But if you go to other climates...
Well, like one of our listeners said... one of our listeners said in the email, West Coast loves Cena, East Coast hates Cena.
I hate Cena.
Well, Marcus...
So I'm moving to the East Coast.
Wait, how do you hate Cena when you said a couple episodes back that you understand Cena?
At the time, I understood some moments. But now, I'm just sick of the son of a bitch.
All right. Now it's time for my favorite segment of the show. I really don't know why, but I enjoyed this part. Carlito and Maria are backstage discussing how Carlito wanted Maria to help him cheat in blackjack. Now, Carlito, before I even finish this, haven't you seen that Maria is not the brightest person in the book? If you're going to cheat in Vegas, don't you want to get somebody smart?
She speaks Spanish.
How do you know this?
She's Maria. She speaks Spanish.
Such a culturally biased statement made by the Death Finale.
No, it's not because they both speak Spanish. They get a bond. You can cheat. You'd be like, hey, my card. And you can just say stuff in Spanish. Pit bosses might not know what it says. The dealer might not know, but Carlito and Maria know.
Never say pit boss on this show again, please.
She's the pit boss.
I don't know. Saying pit boss just don't right. That's like bringing up Savio Vega in the pit.
The pit boss is a job.
Okay, they walk past Snitsky, who was suited and booted, even had his little mustache braided up, and Maria asked him if he wants to join him. He said no because he was waiting for a date with a real Las Vegas showgirl. Maria pointed her out, Snitsky went over and started caressing her feet, and he talked about how they can go see no evil. He put out the greatest lie, how he killed the unborn Phoenix of Cain.
And it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault, which I thought was funny. Then he realized that the foot that he was rubbing was not of a woman, but of Goldust. Goldust wanted to know what was Snitsky doing. Snitsky said, I like to rub feet. He asked Goldust the same, and he said, I like to dress up. Maria and Carlito walked by and said, this wasn't cool, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What I thought was funny about this, how dare Goldust question Snitsky rubbing his feet when he let him do it? If someone came up rubbing my feet, no matter if it's man or woman, I'm going to turn around and see what the hell is going on. He continued to do whatever he was doing until he realized it was Snitsky.
Yes, and I felt this was a missed opportunity. That's all I felt.
What opportunity was missed?
Carlito seems useless overall right now. They're not doing anything.
Because he has a heat match.
He has like 8 heat matches. Like him... Him and Charlie Horse are like stuck on heat for no real reason. Second, because they missed the opportunity right here to make the showgirl be Vito.
I was so expecting Vito.
I wanted it to be Vito so bad because...
But wouldn't it be great if Goldust had pictures of Vito or something like that?
Goldust would be the perfect person to fight Vito because he's in drag all the time.
You know what? You never know. This might be one of those inter-promotional segments where you can have Goldust show up on SmackDown talking to Nuzio.
What, like, hey, I was in Vegas last week. Guess what I saw there?
No. He doesn't even ask about Vegas. He just walked past and he goes, have you seen Vito? That's all he has to do. And then Nuzio's like, what you looking for Vito for? Don't worry about it. Have you seen him? And, you know, it's like Nuzio didn't start thinking, like, what the hell is going on?
Or, like, personal business.
Yeah. Okay. So, after this, Shawn Michaels walks in on Triple H. And he is pissed that he apologized to Vince. Michael said Triple H just sold his soul to the devil. Triple H said he did what he had to do. He does not care what people think. Michael called him a sellout again and walked off.
Yeah, another nice segment between Shawn Michaels and Triple H, the old DX members.
And then, once again, we get another match that really put an axe to my new high spot format. Because it was Kane versus Trevor Murdoch. Only thing interesting about this match is that Murdoch went into other film review stuff and said that Tom Hanks would win Best Leading Man of the Weekend over Kane. No crap, Murdoch. Kane came out.
I like to also say this. Vinciko didn't get a good review.
Hey, guess what? Murdoch been losing weight.
Murdoch ain't lost a pound.
He lost some weight.
He's the same out of shape guy he was years ago.
Kane came out with Murdoch's ass, delivered the choke slam.
Three different times.
Delivered some more choke slam because he was happy tonight. The fans wanted it, so the Kane delivered. But then his sunny day got cloudy when the damn Titantron and the mask appeared.
The stupid people in the truck are effing with Kane.
The mask said if you thought it was over, it will never be over.
This is worse than the time the pyro guy thought he was God.
I don't know. Oh, no, Trevor Murdoch got his ass whooped.
And nobody cared.
And then they moved on to another cool thing that I thought happened on Raw that I really enjoyed.
Was it really that cool?
No, not the match. The week in wrestling. This week in wrestling. Where they brought up that this week in wrestling, Sky Hall invaded Nitro for no one knew why. And this led to the NWO revolution.
Classic.
They need to keep this going because the week in wrestling just was like, wow.
It's like every other week it seems like you get it, though.
It's like some stuff, if we were real professional journalists, we could dig this up and figure this out.
I wish they just why haven't there been a Best of WCW DVD yet?
Well, they can actually do an NWO DVD, and then they can do a Best of WCW DVD. Where you have like early Sting and Ric Flair matches, and then you know what I mean.
By the way, I like to conclude this week in wrestling here. This is the beginning of when Kevin Nash's chart started to skyrocket through the roof.
It did skyrocket through. But nothing like seeing Dennis Rodman throw up the NWO sign. And also a glimpse of the Macho Man.
Yep. Where the hell is the Macho Man? Macho Man is one of the great wrestling characters of all time.
I don't know, Marcus.
Needs to be here.
All right, let's move back into Raw. So the next match that disproves my new format, Torrey Wilson versus Mickey James. Mickey won this match with a DDT.
Excuse me!
Mickey won this match with a DDT.
Torrey Wilson did some clotheslines
this week. After the match, Trish came out, announced that Beth was the newest diva, and that's when Beth attacked Mickey from behind, and Mickey ran through the crowd. Marcus, can I ask you a question? What? Who the hell is the baby face and the heel in this situation?
I'm going to say, let's see. It doesn't matter. This is a crazy feud, and it needs to have more. I want to hear the storyline to this.
Because technically, in old WWE format, the bad guy is usually the person that has somebody attack the other wrestler from behind.
A goon.
But then Mickie James is so crazy that she's actually the bad guy. And the fans were so confused. But yeah. Las Vegas still cheered about something.
They cheered over everything. Free drinks for everybody.
Now, this next spot. I didn't need
this. Wait a minute. Let's go back to this last spot.
DDT, Marcus.
She did
DDT, Marcus.
She did roll ups.
DDT, Marcus.
She put up a competitive match. It was a squash match for Mickey.
DDT. That's all needed to be said.
Respect the women's division.
It's no disrespect to the women's division, but the only thing that happened that we have never seen before was the finish when she DDT'd her.
We've seen that before.
No dog anus, no nothing. DDT. Point blank.
Squash match, let it happen.
Anyway, we're moving on to Big Vince, Viscera, the Mac Daddy.
The world's largest love machine.
Viscera was inside the ring, and he said he realized that it was time for him to settle down. He called Lillian into the ring. I was like, where the hell is this going to?
I was like, wait a minute. Didn't they break up years ago?
Yes. Lillian got into the ring and informed Viscera that the last time that they were in Vegas, he left her for a bunch of Godfather holes.
Yes, informed her. Like he didn't have that on paper written down.
It was nice that they brought up some brief history.
I love when they bring up old stuff.
Viscera acknowledged he made a mistake and he pulled a cheeseburger out of his pants and said he needs someone to cook and clean for him.
And that the burger was bitten.
Viscera then proposed, and then he was interrupted. And I have to say, I was so happy right here to see Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Estrada.
I was like, give me Umaga now. I cheered for Umaga. Umaga came out there. He did what the Samoan wrecking ball does.
It's the bulldozer.
Whatever.
No, look, this is the good thing about Umaga right here.
He got cheers for the crowd. Everybody wants to see Visser go down. Marcus, I was like, give you Umaga a title shot for what he has done right now. He gave the headbutt to Vince, and then he gave him the thumb, and it actually looked impressive, maybe because I have so much hatred for Big Vince that it did.
But they had a hell of a little fight they had out there.
But now you know what this means? Next week, we're having Viscera versus versus the Samoan Bulldozer. Oh, my. Testify.
Well, I've seen Viscera have an okay match before. And I've seen Umaga whoop ass before.
As long as he
whoops Viscera ass repeatedly and give him the mighty spike of doom, I wouldn't do it.
Umaga is the real thing. He's not making me as sick as he used to be, Marcus.
I just hate that he's a stereotype.
Yes, but he's kicking ass and taking names. Now he just need to move on to somebody else. He need to whoop Goldust ass. Then Snitsky ass. Then Eugene's ass.
Clean up all the washed out dry characters that we don't need to see anymore.
With the Samoan spike. Spike them all.
Now this. The chop or the spike right now?
I'm taking the spike because the spike is going to the car artery. And second, I just found out from watching that Judgment Day match, you have to prepare the spike.
Yeah,
you got to massage the hand to get it ready.
Yes, but you also have to bite the thumb after you.
Yes, but it was quick because it looked like he was massaging.
He went on, I'm going to cut you in half. I don't know what the massage.
It's like he had to get the sign, massage the hand.
Maybe he has a steel plate in here and has some.
And then remember, it took two chops compared to one thumb.
That is true.
So we go backstage.
One was against the other tag and one was against Viscera.
We go backstage with a Spirit Squad informed Triple H that Vince wanted him to wait backstage until Vince gave the signal for him to come out and smash Shawn Michaels.
As Triple H was getting his juicy coffee.
Yeah, they tried to get Triple H.
I guess he doesn't drink anymore.
Triple H was getting coffee, I think, when he was confronted by Shawn Michaels.
He was getting coffee here.
Well, he likes coffee. I don't know when he was getting coffee.
He was at the coffee stand all night.
They tried to get Triple H to participate in a cheer, but he refused, and they did the cheer anyway. Now it's time to go to the Spirit Squad.
Wait, Shawn
Michaels
we go
match.
That quick, I just wanted to say, I wanted to see Triple H put his hand in there with the Spirit Squad. Just to go, woo! That should be a man law, Triple H.
Man law.
Goodbye, man. Come up and put the hand in the pat.
You got to cheer with
them. You going to help them later? You got to go, woo, with it.
All right.
What else? He can't do this?
Spirit Squad and Shawn Michaels. Shawn came to the ring with a chair. Vince came out on a ramp, told the ref to leave because he would not be needed. He also told the ref to take the chair away from Michaels. He attempted, but Shawn did not release the chair, but the distraction allowed the Spirit Squad to jump him. The Spirit Squad held Michaels down. They each performed some type of drop, whether it was an elbow drop, leg drop.
They did the moonsaults repeatedly.
They did so much stuff, too.
All I remember, then they did the pyramids in the corner.
Yes, after receiving a pretty good beatdown, Shawn finally rallied back. He knocked members of the Spirit Squad out of the ring, clothesline, and hit Mikey with a chair. He landed his elbow from top and followed that with sweet chin music. He attempted sweet chin music on Nikki, but Nikki kind of caught him with a chair to the leg. That's when the Spirit Squad worked over Michael's back knee.
And that's where the wrestling psychology comes in.
They ripped
you
off the chaps.
They just work on the
place. They exposed the knee. They wrapped the knee inside the chair. Kenny dropped his leg drop from the top rope. Vince called out Triple H.
Now, before we continue with this, what is the Spirit Squad motivation in this feud? I mean, you do this week after week to Shawn Michaels. There is no reason for... What could they get a kick out of this
Making Vince happy.
Is it really making him happy?
Vince being happy gives them spirit, Marcus.
They haven't received any type of title shots.
They're the tag team champions, Marcus.
Oh,
they have,
what?
Marcus, they're the tag team. They have what they needed.
There's no division for them.
Marcus, they have what they needed. So Triple H came out with the hammer.
Pacing out.
The Spirit Squad held up Michaels. Triple H was about to attack Michaels, but Kenny being...
No, there's no proof he was going to attack.
Kenny being overzealous snatched the hammer away and said that he would take care of this. When Kenny attempted to hit Michaels, Triple H gave him a spine buster. From there, Triple H kicked the Spirit Squad ass, delivered the pedigree. Vince was pissed. Triple H celebrated by ripping off his shirt, posing in a mad rage.
So apparently he can still do that.
He can still do that. What was interesting about this is that once again, they continue with the tease of DX. By adding that factor of Kenny snatching that hammer away, you never know what Triple H's true intentions was with that sledgehammer. Because now, because Kenny pissed him off, that's why he had to beat up the Spirit Squad.
Why is Triple H taking so much time with the sledgehammer? It just seems like, you know, he ain't doing nothing.
Because Triple H is a slow, methodical person. He is the game, and it's time to play it. That was Raw, Marcus. What do you think about Raw?
I think it started off fun. It just seemed like it goes on that drop slide that Raw could only do.
My issue with Raw, they had no wrestling on Raw. No real matches. No one
fought. There was one real match.
What, Marcus?
Carlito and Shelton, which ended up in a DQ.
Carlito and Shelton, Marcus? I don't recall that match.
It was before your time.
Carlito and Shelton, Marcus?
Shelton and RVD, okay?
Was that a real match with the botch ending that they did?
Well, they had a pretty good not real match there.
That's probably the best match.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so that pretty much does it for Raw.
What were your comments on Raw? The Raw slide?
Not enough wrestling. It started off at the high peak. It was at that Kevin Nash peak. Then it took over with the Austin Rock era.
So I'm assuming that Raw isn't going to be probably your show of the week.
No. But once again, Raw did what it needed to do. It established storylines. It got Cena against RVD at ECW, stuff like that. It does what Raw does.
I think if they just stick with the ECW storyline more in the show, damn, Vince McMahon beating up Shawn Michaels to the show, Raw can have solid shows.
I think the issue is seeing Shawn Michaels versus the Spirit Squad again. But once again, you're selling the DX storyline, so you have to figure it out. I just think that Vince McMahon needs to hire more people. He can't hire Umaga because you don't want Umaga to get defeated. But Marcus, we are already an hour into the show.
No, he could hire.
I need to take the break.
No, he could hire. He's really available right now. You have to hire this guy. He's doing nothing currently. You put Chris Masters in the situation.
Marcus, you wasted valuable time for that.
I just wanted to do that.
All right, we'll be back with listener feedback. Welcome, everybody, to Listener Feedback. We have a lot of email this episode. No audio, but we're going to get right into the email. The first email that we received is from Jim, but last week we pronounced it as Sim, but he corrected us. He said, I just caught Raw. I got to say, it was a great show and had the feel of Raw show from the good old Attitude Era. I think the way they are building ECW as a heel organization in some feuds and face in others does the upcoming product no favors. For example, RVD and Joey Styles are being portrayed as heels, yet Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk are faces. Of course, I know why Vince is booking it this way. I just need to know why. It was great seeing Paul Heyman back on TV. I always get the feeling there is a lot of truth in what he has to say, however scripted and restricted he might be. Heyman confirming a match I look forward to as a great opener to Raw, but please, how much more abuse is Foley going to sit and take? I guess he really is a prostitute, just like his wife. God.
Why? You can get away with it.
I'm just saying,
you
understand.
Foley on the street, you call his wife a hoe.
I understand.
What is he going to do?
Unfortunately, I missed the Shelton RVD match. You didn't miss much. I don't know what the controversy finish was. Cena versus Masters was a bit like, why in the hell is this here? But nonetheless, it was a solid match, showing Masters' ability well, I felt.
What ability?
After the match, my heart sunk as I knew not only would RVD not be facing JBL at One Night Stand, it would actually be Cena. Why? RVD is being booked heel is beyond me, but I guess when June 11 comes around, it won't matter, seeing as Cena is going to be raped with booze in the bingo hall. Always good to see Mickey in action, even if it's against Tori Wilson, unnecessary diva number one. Once again, putting credit to my DDT fame, Marcus. Trish is staying in the think of things despite her injury. Good on her. Carlito is cool. Snitsky and Goldust skits are not. Enough said. I'm becoming a mark for Umaga. Hey, did you guys hear the chat along our Armando got? Armando and Umaga could be the shock package of 2006. The DXT is being pulled off with perfection. The two words apology segment and the backstage bitch with Triple H were a joy to watch, and I felt tonight would be the night. It wasn't, however, but nonetheless, I am still itching for the Generation X. The swerve at the end established Triple H well as a babyface, and I'm very interested to see how this develops into DX. All in all, good Raw. Not enough filler, but then who wants to see Eugene? Continue the great work, guys. Thanks. Yes. Great email, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Let me start first. I don't know if they're playing ECW as heel and face, because either way, it's going to be the complete opposite at ECW almost. Because, you know, Funk and Dream are going to get cheers. Mick is probably going to get cheers. Ed's probably be the only one that match to get booed.
I think, really, right now, I just think it's really about you cheer who you want to cheer for, and that's it. It's no...
Well, Mick was the bad guy. He's not a bad guy,
though. He said he's not a bad guy. You have to believe a man that stands up for WWE.
He still does the cheap pop.
And also, Jim, I will agree that the way they are doing the DX thing is actually masterful. Some of the most creativity I've done in a long while.
And, oh, I wanted to comment also on Paul Heyman about how when he talks, it is believable. Because I believe he writes his own stuff, as Joey Styles did. In which it's not offending nobody in the back as much. But, you know, or the person he's talking to. But it's borderline the truth some way.
That's true.
It's nice.
So thanks for
whenever Paul Heyman gives a promo, it's always
thanks for the email. Now we're moving on to our next email from Josh. He says, "Hey Eric and Marcus, what up? Love the show and have been listening since episode 48.
Woo, my favorite episode.
I just wanted to get my thoughts in on Judgment Day and Raw. Judgment Day, new tag team champions finally, plus an Eminem split. This was a high spot to open a pay per view, in my opinion. I would have to agree. It set the move into a what the hell just happened there night kind of night. You know what I mean?
Well, the split was nice. Then when tag titles good, it started to show off very nice.
Especially since Teddy fired Nitro and Melina right after her match with ex piece of face Jillian Hall. Chris Benoit versus Finley was a pretty good match. Nonstop mat wrestling in the old style. Now, why this made Taz happy to see, I have no idea. Did he come up in ECW? Yeah, I thought so. All around pretty good wrestling match with Benoit getting the win by making Finley tap out with the crossface. Jillian versus Melina. Okay, on Raw, the women's division is interesting because the writing staff actually knows what they are doing for once.
Sometimes.
But I don't think this match had any relevance to the show whatsoever. Do they think we don't remember when Jillian was sharing the managerial responsibilities of Eminem? I guess not. A lot of hair pulling with Jillian beating Melina. Actually, Josh, they did point out in commentary that Eminem are the ones that brought Jillian into the corporation.
And Melina also brought up back when they had their little cap at the table. It's just Melina put the Batista factor in which she's all stuck up because she worked with JBL and she tried to move on to bigger, better things and it just fell in her face.
All right, Marcus. We move. He says the Cruiserweight Championship match won't worth paying any attention to, so I'm not going to bother reviewing it. Mark Henry versus Kurt. Mark Henry, Mr. Injury versus Kurt Revenge Angle. This yes. match was bad and not in a good way. The only good thing about this was that Angle beat Henry's ass with the chair, then locked the ankle lock on him and had to be restrained.
Before we get to this, did they dip Mark Henry in a pool before he come out?
I don't know, Mark.
Does he go skinny dipping or something?
I don't know.
Why is he in the wetsuit?
But why is it great? He comes out dripping wet, but by the end of the match, he's dry.
Who is he, Aquaman?
I don't know. But he says, when Angle hit the Angle Slam on the announce table and it didn't break, I had to wonder, has WWE take the TNA approach to the announce table problem and made them indestructible? My question would be then, yes, when Kurt hit Henry over the head with the chair, he fell for it and made the table collapse. I think actually that was an improvisation right there.
What, just to make the table collapse?
Yeah, I think the table was supposed to break with the ankle slam, but it didn't.
It all worked in the end.
Okay. King of the Ring final now. I have to vent on this. I am a huge Lashley fan. A fan, and I have been watching Booker T since WCW. Now, he did not have to win this match. He's a 5-time WCW champion.
Woo, 5-time!
Give the new guy a chance to make a name for himself, especially since he's over with the most of the crowd. Booker winning with the use of Finley was something this match did not need, and thus I give it 5-star BS rating. I would have to disagree. I would have to say that Booker T winning the King of the Ring makes it more entertaining for me because Booker T and his King skits have been, you know, so much. And really, he can bring more pizzazz to the King compared to Lashley, who was more look than substance.
Yeah. Booker T can not only play the King, He is the king currently. I mean, I don't see anybody can play the king role better than him.
Except the king, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. King Booker will work with his wife, Charmel, with her tiara. I wouldn't be surprised if they just sit out the whole show pointing at people with the scepter.
Okay, his email continues, says, Khalil versus The Undertaker. Wow, this match actually bored me to tears, and the ending left me saying, what the F just happened?
Didn't you fall asleep as well?
I want to know something. How does someone who doesn't possess the knowledge of single wrestling move win a damn match? I tell you how. SmackDown creative. In a last-ditch effort to make him seem good, they make him beat The Undertaker once again. 5-star BS rating.
Yeah.
JBL versus Rey Mysterio. I gotta say, WWE must really want to keep the dream of the underdog alive. Because there is no way that Rey could have legitimately beat JBL without a weapon. Okay, so he kicked the chair in his face and hit the frog splash to win. I give it to him. I thought tonight was over. I guess I was wrong. On to Monday Night Raw. This was a pretty good show all around. I was very pleased with this week. The Edge, Lita, Foley Alliance is something that I'm liking a lot. And it looks like Marcus is getting his wish as RVD finally came out and said that he loves the grand finale. I was trying to see if you was paying attention. He didn't say that. Finally came out and said that he's cashing in the Money in the Bank title shot at One Night Stand to face John Cena, who is going to get massively booed from everyone in the Hammerstein Ballroom. Trish, Mickey, and Beth do another amazing promo, getting over the fact that the women's division is greater than the IC division.
That's so sadly true.
And Kane, May 19 is over with, but wait, it's not over yet. Now where WWE is going with this, I'm interested. As I felt that Kane was getting stale, could WWE use any more crowd shots during Raw, SmackDown, and the pay-per-views? DX is shaping up to be something good. Triple H just needs to take all the spirit queers and hit them with the hammer, then make them all bow down to the king. No overexposure of Cena tonight, a good thing. And did anyone else think that Big Vince and Lillian were over at Vengeance last year? Because I could have sworn the whole thing was over. And where does he get off giving Lillian a damn cheeseburger? And Marcus, this one's for you. You mock it. First, peace out, Josh Heinrich. Now, first of all, he didn't give her the cheeseburger. He just pulled the cheeseburger out of his pants and said, this is what he's been subject to eating
and
lately.
And he knew it. And the whole visceral Lillian Garcia story was to set up the whole Umaga story. Now, why did he wait to Las Vegas to make his proposal? He could have did this any other time.
I don't know.
Why tonight?
But thanks for the email, Josh. Let's move on to our next, Jay.
To bring up old wounds like that.
We got an email from Jeff.
I want to comment on where Kane's going.
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
It's going to DVD release. All the way. Next May 19th. I expect a See No Evil for this special edition set.
The DVD will release before August, I bet you.
I give you July. July 17th.
If not August, Halloween.
That's too early.
All right, so we received the email from Jeff.
Too late.
Yeah, I was going to say, how is it too early when you said July? We received this email from Jeff. He said, yo, Shooters, this is Jeff from Illinois. I should put my 2 cents in the whole hate Cena thing last episode. Eric, you and Floyd are not the only Cena fans besides kids.
Oh, no.
I am also a fan of Cena as well as all the Las Vegas cheering Cena on Raw this week. You, my God, damn it. That's from me. Also, Aaron, it looks like you found Chavo in El Paso because he was at Judgment Day. Where was he working at the time? Seeing as this is my first email to you guys, I just wanted to say what's up and also give my thoughts on Raw. When Raw first started, I saw the 5-on-1 handicap match with Shawn and the Spirit Squad. I was like, man, this is really getting old, and I really don't need to see Vince open the show every week. Almost as bad as CM being a walk-in souvenir stand. Then I believe he had the ECW One Night Stand promo. Of course, this is where they set up Edge and Foley versus Funk and Dreamer match. Nothing really needs to be said about this other than actually seeing Dreamer beat up someone instead of getting beat up by someone. Getting to the first match, RVD versus Shelton. Starting out, I knew RVD was going to lose, but I didn't think he would get DQ'd. I thought if anything, Shelton would either get DQ'd or just walk out, and they didn't. He win anything? Didn't win another match by doing the Van Damminator, and they said it was legal. WWE must like the fans to have a short beater. Memory. After that, the disappointing promo where Triple H says, I'm sorry to Vince. thought for sure he was going to say, I got two words for you, suck it. But he didn't. He said, I'm sorry. So sad. The rest of the matches and promo were just filler. Other thing I found important was the Shawn yelling at the promos.
I'll take my
and
kid.
The RVD cashing in his Money in the Bank and at One Night Stand. And Triple H coming to the pin, Shawn, at the end of the 5-on-1 match we see every week or every other week.
Yeah, it's every week.
I believe this will lead into a format of DX next week on Raw, finally, but Vince and the creative team, you never know. This best match on Raw, I think, was RVD versus Shelton. Another thing, I think Vito and Goldust would make a good traveling bunch of cross-dressers. Well, that is all I can say to write at this moment. Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Also, I would like to tell Jeff thank you. He pointed out to me that the show was not updating in iTunes. Before Marcus could tell me.
But hey. Well, I forgot. Honestly, I looked at iTunes and like, yeah, it'll be up later. And I maybe just didn't put it up. Then later came and I was like, yeah, man, I don't care. Anyway, I just kind of passed on it. Who was that who went to look for Chavo again? Was it Wesley?
It was Aaron.
Aaron?
Yeah. And Aaron found him.
Oh. Yes. Good job.
Congratulations, Aaron. We look forward to hear how you found Chavo.
The Great Adventures of Finding Chavo Guerrero. Right. Next time on all the
right.
Show.
So we received the next email from Ebert. I think Jeff, right? If I yeah. didn't, thank you again, Jeff, for the email and for
you.
The information.
We thank everybody if we didn't thank you.
Ebert sent in his email. Good day, guys. I'm going back to the bullet points so it will be easier for Eric to read.
Yes, yeah, somebody is thank finally you. Helping Elvin. Elman.
Who the hell is Elvin? Nick? Let's go all the way back to TNA. I promise this won't be long at all. TNA is doing a lot better. Thank God Saban got beat down. He never loses and it's frustrating. Rumor has it that Rhino is headed to ECW. What do you guys think about this? I think for Rhino, it's the best move that he can possibly make.
I never heard this rumor, but it seems if he goes back, that's the only way. Because Rhino, for one thing, he can't work. The only matches he's ever really had good in TNA was when there's no rules and he's fighting the business and he's like going over ladders and tables and damn near killing each other.
And I personally feel that Rhino fits the ECW and even the WWE style more.
Nah, not WWE.
More,
it's perfect.
No, more than a TNA style because TNA is more about the wrestling and WWE is more about building up the character, promos, doing stupid run-ins
but
and stuff.
But to tell the truth, well, TNA, all about stupid run-ins. You know, Bobby Roode every week just running in. Scott D'Amore just at the end of the show is pointing at people for no reason. Well, anyway, Rhino is pretty much, if you think about it, not the best wrestler out there. He doesn't have many moves. Clothesline, guard, belly to belly, hit you with a chair.
I think the ECW is the best
format.
And
maybe a suplex
here and there. So I think we should start a coalition. TNA, release Jeff Hardy and Rhino. Okay.
What? Why Jeff Hardy?
Because you got to reunite the Hardy Boys. I'm tired of Matt Hardy. Eminem is gone. It's time for the Hardy Boys to come back.
What is this, 1996? We're going to eat the Team DX?
Marcus.
ECW
Marcus,
still around?
I want to give you
and
some.
The Hardy
Marcus,
Boys?
TLC, Hardy Boys, London, Kendrick, Cash, and Noble.
What,
I mean, no, Mexico.
Next, we're going to bring back Team Eck. Christian Kurt Angle?
No. Let's get back to the email. He says, SmackDown and Judgment Day. Second lowest rating ever. Unbelievable, huh? When everyone talk about how crazy it will be to see ECW on a sci-fi channel, they should really look at SmackDown. SmackDown only had a 1.9. That's 0.7 away from TNA.
Yes, I wanted to see you understand the rating scale because we don't. But first of all I got to say is this. The ratings were bad due to the Friday night interleague play this weekend in which every Major League Baseball team played their cross-time rival, unless you're like Kansas City.
I'm letting you guys know. Once the baseball season ends, I see the ratings going back up.
Well, they ain't dropping because the preemptions.
No, preemptions, yes.
Preemptions are hell, man.
Did you notice that the great Khali said the ring of king on SmackDown? I love that guy. He's great. If your name wasn't Chris or Booker, you lost big. I don't understand it. Angle, Undertaker, Eminem, Super Crazy, all lost. I'm in shock, especially about Super Crazy. You all know that was some racism. They didn't want a Latina holding a belt. Oops, I forgot. They do have one. Rey Mysterio. I only forgot about him because he loses all the time, and I just figured that it's impossible to have a belt and lose every match for 4 weeks.
So will Super Crazy get this belt and lose it every week?
Super Crazy is crazy.
He is crazy. Well, anyway, also, would he be somebody that be going would be at ECW?
More than likely, yeah.
Or would they keep him with Psicosis as a Mexico? Because Psicosis is useless. I don't like Psicosis.
All right, Mark. Mark, this is not time for you to rant on Psicosis. It's time for me to read the email.
For once,
you make this really difficult for me to read.
Can I please rant on Psicosis?
No, you save your rant for after we finish the email, okay?
I'm going to forget the rant.
I will remember Psicosis.
Okay.
All right. Eminem is no longer. I think this shows you why no one watches SmackDown. Why break up one of the best tag teams that the WWE have right now? They aren't played out yet. Stupid decision. Speaking of Melina, how the hell do you get fired for arguing? I understand why Melina was fired, but Nitro was fired for arguing.
He knows the rules.
If that rule was the case, then every wrestler would be out of a job when they lose. And Ryan Pornett brought up the fact that Teddy Long was FU'd by John Cena and did not fire him.
Yes.
So what can you say?
Well, this is before. Teddy Long is not the man in charge. Us right now. Everybody know that John Cena would be fired.
All right, Marcus, we're moving on.
Yeah, Charmel, I had no reason
Charmel
to go.
And Vince McMahon have the same acting coach because they both overreacted when their loved ones were destroyed.
Nah.
I am so happy that we have King Booker T to deal with in the future. I didn't see the Undertaker match because I fell asleep during the Undertaker's long entrance to the ring. Ebert, I was with you.
Eric fell asleep. I stayed up and watched the Undertaker jump around the ring.
But I did hear a miracle happen. The Undertaker lost cleanly to the Great Khali. The Undertaker never loses to anyone, so I smell a rat. We're getting a rematch soon. When I say the Undertaker never loses, I mean it. Who has the Undertaker lost to cleanly in the past 10 years? You can count them on one thumb. Umaga? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
He has never lost to the Mighty Thumb. You count them on one thumb?
Just when I thought Rey Mysterio couldn't look any weaker, he starts to adopt the frog splash. Rey's as much as a diva. He springs in the air and dives on a 300-pound guy. We are forced to believe that this move is going to stun a 300-pounder long enough for him to win. Why not have Chris or Melina do a frog splash on an Undertaker and win a match? Hell, Super Porky could have beaten the Great Khali if the move is that great. It's just unrealistic.
Hell of a move, that frog splash. Hell
on the Raw, I don't know who looks worse. Foley trying to climb over the barricade or Terry Funk trying to punch and walk down the ramp.
That's what I want to say. Foley going over the barricade trying to escape. Who do you think was worse, him or Bubba Reigns? But Foley, because Bubba had to get help to get across.
I didn't pay much attention to Foley getting over, so I don't know.
He didn't get over.
Again, Lita is practically naked, and I don't care. I'm a guy, and I like to see women's bare chests. Put Mickey, Maria, or Melina in the same top, and I would be still pausing my TiVo while looking for any chance of wardrobe malfunction. But when it comes to Lita, I just yawn and want the story to move on. You know, if they had Mickey walk out in that shirt, that'd be the greatest Raw ever. I don't care what happened.
It'd be the greatest Raw ever.
Charmel walks out in that shirt, I'm happy.
It'd be a classic Raw edition.
Jillian Hall works out in that show, I'll be happy. I don't want to see Lita. I'm with you, Ebert. I'm filling this email.
They had for Lita knows no better.
They had the crazy notion to show that See No Evil came out on May 19th and people actually liked it. First, only one of those two events is fact. The movie did come out on May 19th. I didn't see, but I read a spoiler of the movie and I was laughing my butt off. The bad thing is that the movie isn't a comedy, but rather a horror movie. I can't wait for DVD.
Now, the DVD probably out in July. Anyway, I like to say this one thing. Is this movie, if somebody has seen this movie, please, well, if you haven't seen it, I would please like to know your thoughts on this movie. Is it a bad movie in which I can laugh? Is it Last Dragon-ish? Is it one of those type of movies?
I'm telling you, Mark, it's to the trauma horror films like The Toxic Avenger, it's the comedy horror films.
It's no Evil Dead.
I put it this way. It's going to be a great DVD rental. It's one of those movies where you laugh at the horror movies.
You just bust up.
Yes. So we're moving back. It's official. Cena will get his dumb simpleton butt booed out of the arena in June.
Finally.
You West Coast people love Cena. But on the East Coast, it's a different story. Cena versus RVD should be a good match. RVD has a lot of moves that he can't perform because the WWE told him to not do those moves. It will be interesting to see what he does on a bigger stage. The diva situation on Raw puzzled me. The bad guy Mickey is being double teamed by the good guy Trish and her new partner Beth Phoenix. So who are we supposed to root for? The underdog? If that's the case, then we are supposed to root for Mickey and Bo Trish.
You cheer for great storytelling.
Or do we root for Trish to get her revenge and accept that she does need to be double-teamed Mickey to beat her? My point is, why does the good guy need to double-team the bad guy? This is really confusing me.
Ask Christian.
First of all, Mickey is the good guy to me, and no one can tell me different.
So now you call Mickey a guy.
She's a good woman.
Mm-hmm. But Christian does it. He gets away with it.
Marcus, I'm trying to move past Christian. Marcus, I'm trying to move past Christian. Do not bring it up.
Christian, yeah.
We're moving on. He had an answer to the listener's email. Mm-hmm. Finally, he said, why should you care about the return of ECW? I listened to the weekend show and wish sincerely that I could have called in live. ECW is one of the reasons why wrestling was hot in the 90s. First, you have a lot of wrestlers that came out of ECW. Dudley, Steve Austin, Jericho, Malenko, Guerrero, RVD, Taz, the Mexican wrestlers, Raven, Shane Douglas, Mysterio, Rhino, Funk, and Sabu. Second, you have the creativity of ECW. It isn't about bringing back old wrestlers. They did that with Douglas and Terry Funk when they first started. It's about creating new characters with new angles that people haven't seen before. Steve Austin stole a lot of his stuff from the Sandman. When the Big Show and Undertaker fell through the ring in the WWE, the idea was stolen from ECW. Using Mexican cruiserweights in America was an ECW idea first before WCW started doing it. The no rules, no wins or losses concept that TNA adopted is an ECW idea as well. Hardcore, high-flying stunts, and incredible promos are all the things that people think of when you think of ECW. Lastly, the reason why we should be excited about ECW is that it will be something new in an industry that is very boring and very predictable. TNA doesn't have any creativity. WWE is just playing silly at times with their decisions, while the WWE will have some control on ECW. It would always be treated as the third promotion. That's great. It would give Paul Heyman a chance to make some new stars like RVD and Taz and make us care about wrestling again. Thanks. I hope this wasn't too long, but I wanted to respond to that comment made this past weekend. Ebert, this was not too long. It made good points, and it goes back to the thing. I know it's going to be hard, but it goes back to ECW being a great developmental minor league stable for the WWE. Mm-hmm. Instead of WWE stealing talent from ECW, they are using them to make talent. Hopefully, they let ECW run independently like they did back in the day when they were successful to able to establish new risky storylines or matches that, you know, people don't know.
And laser beams on the Sci-Fi Channel. Well, anyway, I hopefully hope that Vince McMahon ain't on ECW like every other day, dominating that show as he dominates Raw. I don't want to see no Cyrus the Network guy. I don't want to see the trash we got on TNN. I want to see some quality wrestling with some crazy high spots.
It's just going to be crazy, though. If ECW can produce a compelling show in an hour, it's going to really look bad on TNA.
Yes. Without pulling stars like your boy Sting, your boy Scott Snyder, and your favorite wrestler of all time, the Dudley Boys. All
right. Thanks for the email, Ebert. Moving on to the next email. It's from Manny. He says, what's up, guys? No, it's not you, Maga.
Oh, Marcus. Wait. Oh, wait. Let me look at it again. Kylie. No, you got to say it like this. Really?
Oh, what a 90s TV reference I got for you this week. Earthworm Jim. He's such a groovy guy. Earthworm Jim. He's rockets through the sky. Earthworm Jim had a
cartoon. He had a cartoon, Eric.
I'll be damned.
Everybody had a cartoon.
Okay, back to wrestling. I didn't catch the Judgment Day. Unfortunately, in the UK, we were finally required to pay for this pay-per-view.
Bollocks.
We got backlash shown for free last month. However, I did read that Chavo has been found. He must have been in the area trying to sell Rey Mysterio some life insurance after catching the previous 3 beatdowns he got on SmackDown. That's the line of the night.
That's the line of the night, right?
All
there.
Hail King Booker. With a crown ceremony on SmackDown, this Friday SmackDown is going to be definitely something to watch. Raw, yes, the hardcore title is back, but not going to get excited about till that belt is defended 24/7. Well, was well funny when they shot scenes from the airport of superstars fighting to win that belt. All right, I got on Mick last week for looking like a homeless guy. Well, where did he get that suit? The Shelter. Come on. The best-selling author can't afford a much better suit than that. Paul Heyman making an appearance for tonight's Raw. Great. The promo was excellent, and that really should get rid of the rant when Terry Funk gets about. The man nearly fell trying to go down it. It went beating up Foley.
Terry Funk's horrible.
Another good Shelton versus RVD match was in such a bad call by the referee, he could blatantly see Shelton bringing the title in the ring with intentions to use it. Mm-hmm. Extreme bad acted by John Cena when RVD came out and got in his face and cashed in Money in the Bank. Tori Wilson versus Mickey James, I thought first this was going to be quite bad and was considering changing the channel, but it actually a pretty decent match, especially when you just see DDT.
That's all. Do you have to keep saying DDT? That was it.
Viscera then proposing to Lillian again. Correction, Lillian actually proposed to Viscera last time. I was hoping instead of Armando to come out, I was expecting the Godfather to come out again.
That would have been hilarious.
How did Imaga effectively nail Viscera with the mighty thumb of doom? There must have been some serious force used to beat past the fat in Viscera's neck to reach those arteries. Shawn Michaels versus the Spirit Squad, another haven't I seen this already match, but could really call this a match. This was assault, but HBK don't go to the same people Christian did when he lost the belt, because clearly they were no help. Triple H snapping after Kenny took the sledgehammer right out of his head and then landing possibly the worst spine buster on him ever, and then hulking up and ripping his shirt off, actually playing to the crowd as well tonight before having a stare down with Vince. What's annoying about the DX stuff was WWE produced a Vengeance trailer, clearly stating DX was reunited last week and put it on WWE.com, but was quickly removed after people noticed it. He has a link on YouTube for it. I thought ECW One Night Stand was about ECW, not how many WWE needs can get on the card like Edge and Cena. And before I end this email, my other 90s TV references, Kenan and Kel show was random and well funny. And using one of Kel's phrases from the show to the end email. Ah, here it goes. Well, Kel, well, you know, this is my own Dance Revolution 360. That's all I have to say.
Where, if anybody else got this show.
Peace, Manny Umaga. Great email, Manny. Appreciate the one-liners.
Yes.
Now it's time to move on to the final email.
I was going to comment on it.
No, Marcus.
Remember.
It's final for the final email. It's from Floyd.
Here we go. Why are you saying it like that?
Because I'm tired, Marcus. I ran through so many emails. Oh. Hey, guys. Your audio sounds better than ever.
All right.
I don't have any 90s cartoon reference because I grew in the 80s. Captain Caveman, Speed Racer,
yes.
etc.
No, that's good enough. We don't mean early 90s cartoons. We need 60s, 50s. You can go anywhere. I don't care if you pull out a black and white cartoon, but it says Popeye.
Marcus, I don't need your rants right now. I'm dying down. I think people are starting to join Eric and I on the Cena Island. Marcus, there's still a little room for you.
We will attack.
Most importantly, I want to really highlight the Finley versus Benoit match on the pay-per-view. That was a match. That's how it should be done, damn it. Did you see how many holds were being applied? Just a question. Has anyone ever seen a quarter Nelson before? I think not. I have a dream match I want to see. How about Finley versus Benoit versus Regal? Could you imagine the wrestling holds that would come out of that match? Finley versus Benoit sold the show. I went in this email with just four words. All hail King Booker. Peace, Floyd.
So this seems like Booker T's week this week, if you think about it.
Booker T is the king.
He whooped Batista's ass at the SummerSlam thing.
And we had to bow down to the king.
And he won the King of the Ring, and now he's betrayed as the epic hero
now, Marcus,
of the world.
Now, before I'm like, we're going to win, thank you, Floyd, for the email. I have no closing comments. The website, before you interrupt, the website.
Well, I wasn't going to interrupt. I have nothing to say.
Yes, you do. The website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. You can leave a voicemail for us via Skype with the username thesharpshooters, or leave a voicemail via the number 310-928-6889. Now, Marcus has a rant. Marcus.
I have a rant?
Psychosis.
There's no rant on psychosis. I was just trying to get to it. I hate psychosis. I just feel he's useless. Ever since he took off that mask and pretty much destroyed the legacy that I remember of psychosis.
Marcus, you have no rant. Mark, we're going to end the show now. I'm tired. I'm beat.
What about, come on. Don't you have a 90s show you want to bring up?
I don't.
Come on. I don't. Come on.
I don't.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
No.
DuckTales?
I was bringing up Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck!
But anyway.
Let's get dangerous.
All right. So that does it for that. I went through another tailspin right now.
What's another tailspin?
Yes, yes, I went there.
Oh, come on, with Blue?
With Blue.
Next, I'm going to bring up Gargoyles.
Garfield.
Heathcliff.
Dennis the Menace. Hi. Anyway, Marcus, let's not get into this right now. I'm tired. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand. I got to learn how to roll my tongue. You know, Marcus, the grand finale.
And we have been saved by the bell. See you guys next episode.
What are you doing?
Hey, I just threw a cheap show reference.
No.
All right. That's episode 72. It's done. It's over. We shot this damn thing.
We should. Marcus, off Pinky in the Brain, because you know they come on DVD.
Why are you trying to upstage me with your animaniac pleasures?
Oh, you acting like such a tiny tune.
Oh my God, Marcus! I can't believe you're stooping to such levels. I don't have one for you right now.
Yes, take that, you big bad beetleborg.
I dropped the ball. I fell.
Anyway, we should just pull a Pinky in the Brain though, seriously. In which, what are we going to do next time, Bray? We're going to take up the world, because they're coming out on DVD. So is Animaniacs.
Marcus, I don't care about your rants. I'm finished with the show. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep.
Well, see I you got more to do that.
See you guys for next episode 73. We're out.
70 what?
73.
73?
We're out.
73.
Bye, Marcus.
Ghostbusters.
Slimer. Bye, Marcus.
Egon.
Bye, everybody.
Ecto.
The Pinky and the Brain, yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. In laboratory mice, their genes have been spliced. They're Pinky and the Brain, 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 Brain. Before each night is done, their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world. Each night is done, their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world. They're Pinky and the Brain, yes, Pinky and the Brain. Their twilight campaign is easy to explain. To prove their mousy worth, they'll overthrow the earth.